You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
The JSC has closed its doors for another day, so it's time for the 5 o'clock shadow. With me this evening is Nick Kunze from Sanlam Private Wealth. I don't know if it's right to say that I'm worried, but there are some concerning market trends. You're a market watcher. You trade what you see on the screen. And I tell you what I've seen on the screen for the last 4 or 5 days hasn't been very nice, Nick. What's going on today? Yesterday was, Tuesday when we spoke, it was Taiwan and drones. What is it today?
Yeah, evening, Lindsay. I wish you say, we've closed our doors. I wish we hadn't opened our doors today.
Yeah.
There is lots of risk on the sort of horizon. I mean, you touched on the fact this used a little bit of saber rattling happening in Taiwan, which is not a good thing in the Taiwan Strait. On top of that, you've got all sorts of noises coming out about oil prices and commodities. And I guess touching on what we spoke about on Tuesday, the dominant theme, besides the energy and a few other things, is the strength of this dollar. It just does not stop. Breaking through, I mean, I'm just looking at a graph of it now. I've got the dollar yen up on my screen now. Breaking through 140 briefly about half an hour ago. Now, just look back. I mean, the yen was 130 odd. I'm looking here. 132 at the first week in August. So, I mean, it's almost like an 8% move in the largest liquid, most traded currency in the world in the space of 17 trading day is insane. And then I take a quick another look now and see what the VIX is doing, up almost to 27.5. So again, I think you've mentioned it before, it's this like churn in the markets, and that's all we're seeing now. It doesn't feel good. And of course, starting on the 1st of September, first day of spring for us here in the Southern Hemisphere, and traditionally, things don't always repeat themselves, but historically, September is the worst
month
for equity markets.
Yeah.
So I mean, all of that. It really, as a market watcher, as you said, what I'm seeing on my screen now makes me very nervous. It's some big moves in these commodities too, which is not a good sign.
No, we'll come to that later on. But I think what you said about the churn has become something a little bit more sinister. Maybe it's thin volumes. Maybe it's just people positioning themselves ahead of the August jobs numbers coming out on Friday from the United States of America.
Exactly.
I think there's something different going on, and I don't know what it is. I can't put my finger on it, but it seems to me that there are certain people that are getting out, and that'll provide opportunities, of course. But at the moment, when you see the red flashing on your screen, as I'm looking at now, it doesn't quite feel right. It's not just a little sell-off. It's a relentless sell-off.
It is, and I wonder if it's not just a realization, because, traders and investors, whatever, normally don't like admitting the truth or what's actually happening, always trying looking further and further ahead. But I wonder if it's not realization that, in fact, we are heading into an environment where interest rates are going to go up. They're probably going to go up quite aggressively. Just yesterday we had inflation prints out the Eurozone of 9.1%. 9.1%. Inflation. And the ECB's interest rates are sitting at zero. They've raised it from a negative half to zero.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we laugh about it, but the cost of money, your cost of capital around the world, which basically the world runs on the borrowing of money and what the financing rates are, it is going to go up. The decade or so of cheap, easy money is coming to an end. And I get the feeling is a little bit of realization that it is coming to an end, and it might come to an end quicker than you think. The ECB could do 75 basis points in their meeting this month easily. And they still want to be close to where they should be. So, yeah, so it's almost like a buyer beware, Lindsay.
Nick, your job is to manage people's money and to do a little bit of proprietary trading, whatever you do. But even you would have admitted in private, probably, that given the fact that from March 2009, when the S&P was 666, and then the really big stimulus packages were launched by central banks, it couldn't go on forever. It went on forever, as far as I was concerned, because it went on for what, 11, 12 years? There's always this, it's always that thing. I mean, you'll have a hangover after a really big night out. The hangover does come and it does last. And I think people are suddenly starting to realize that there has to be some unraveling of what has been put in place over the last decade or more. And so we shouldn't be surprised. The question is now, how do you get out of it? Because the central banks are not doing it properly, in my opinion.
No, they've lost all credibility. You know, the whole idea of forward guidance and all this, so they got it completely wrong. I mean, there's only a few Fed Chairman Jay Powell was standing up talking about, oh, we've hit the neutral rate. And then 3 weeks later, he's standing in Jackson Hole going, we need to raise rates aggressively and there's going to be pain. He used the word pain. But the market's going, well, 21 days ago, you told me we had neutral. So what is it? So, yeah, the central banks have got it hopelessly wrong. But just touching on your comments, there's also, I think, a sense of when rallies happen and you have bull markets, you have bear markets, you have cycles, you know, we tend to get into the habit of saying, okay, well, bull market cycles last for, say, I don't know, 9 years, for example. This has been running for 14, you know, so we keep trying to call a top and call a top. But, you know, in my experience, markets don't, or bull markets or trends don't end just because they get long on the tooth. It doesn't work like that. You know, it basically carries on doing what it wants to do. They end because something's happening or things change. And I think we're seeing that change. We're seeing the change with inflation coming back with a vengeance, which are getting a change in the monetary rates, getting a change of interest rates. And I think that's what we're seeing now. Yes, historically it is a bit long on the tooth, but we are getting something happening on the ground floor, and that is leading to this change. I think it's right. We're getting back to a sense of normality, but we are getting it back to a sense where risky assets in this environment are probably best avoided. Or if you are getting involved in risky assets, you've got to really pick your very narrow focus. And I think we're seeing that now. There's going to be the problem I've got right now is it feels like there's a real, just a flight to the dollar. People are completely unsure what's going to happen, so back to the dollar they go, and that the dollar is just literally riding rothschild over everything in front of it.
The difference between this conversation we've just had over the last few minutes and one that we had maybe 3-4 weeks ago was that we said the relationship between the bond market and the equity market has completely parted. In the old days, it would be safe haven bond buying as equities come down. But
correct.
But now what we've got is the bond market being sold off as well as the equity market. And that, to me, is a seismic shift. I mean, maybe I'm over-exaggerating, but the bonds, I mean, the US 10-year now, 3.20%. It wasn't that long ago. It was 250, 255, 250 to 255. So what's happening? Are people suddenly coming to the realization that these two asset classes are fundamentally different?
Well, it's something that I guess financial advisors or whatever will be telling you over the decades. You know, you need a diversified portfolio. You need a 60-40 traditional blend. That's what you need. You know, 40% bonds or 30% bonds, 70% equity or 60% equity. That's your traditional spread of a diversified portfolio. But what history hasn't told you is that the last part of a decade, that 30-40% part, which is your bond part, has been artificially manipulated by central banks. You know, they had quantitative easing and all of it, buying $110, $120 billion worth of bonds to artificially suppress the curve for a decade. That is obviously now coming to an end. So you can't really look at that. And what's happened is, the bottom line is, Lindsay, and you touched on it, this is the longest U.S. bond market drawdown in history. That's fact. 25 months. And it is now down 12.5%, right? It hasn't done this since previous. I couldn't even look further go on my Reuters screen from 1980. That's how far back I looked. It's shocking what is actually happening right now. So, which also summarizes the fact that I'm sure people listening to the show will realize there's been nowhere to hide. You couldn't go. The bonds are down. The equities are down. Commodities are down. All the sort of other assets are down. The only thing that's been going up is the dollar. So it really has been what we're seeing here is historical, what we're seeing.
But what I think the point I was trying to make, and I was rather inarticulate when I was trying to do so, was that when we've had previous conversations, the stock market would be down maybe 2%, the S&P or something like that. But the bond, people were buying bonds as a safe haven. Now the stock market is down again quite substantially today, more or less across the world, but they're selling bonds and the yield is going up. So that relationship is completely dislocated.
Completely broken down. And also, but again, that's where you possibly see, you get your flight to quality, which is when people get a bit nervous and they sort of buy bonds and they sell equities, which is not what's happening now. But then you get your almost like absolute fear. They want to just dive back into the only asset they know. And in this particular case, they call it a flight to cash. In this particular case, is the US dollar. But you're right. I mean, that's sort of traditional relationship, that inverse relationship between fixed income bond markets and equities has in fact completely reversed. It's broken down totally.
It has. Let's have a look at the JSE today, because I know you've got to get off quite soon. African Rainbow Minerals, Impala, Santam, Sanlam has come out with a trading update. The first three that I spoke of were results. Massmart coming out with an announcement. Which one do you want to pick? Because your time is short. Impala looks horrible.
Oh. Yeah, it does. It does. They're really not a great set of numbers. And the problem with Impala and is their, firstly, their guidance was pretty bad, which obviously spooks people a little bit as well. And also paying out a big chunk of the dividends. But, you know, they were indicating that this could be not the top of the market, but certainly the sort of peak of their cycle. But also there's a bit of a fight going on, too, between Royal Buffett King and Northern Platinum. They're all fighting for those assets, too. So there's a noise happening as well. But in general, not a great set of numbers. I mean, the thing that concerns me is they are paying out quite a big chunk of it into a dividend. And as I said, the overall look was a negative feel about it.
Yeah, as we've been speaking, Truworths has come out with its numbers. I don't want to talk about Santam or Sanlam because it's too close to you. It says here, key features, sales of merchandise up 9.1%, retail sales up 9%, gross margin up at 53.5%. Goodness me, so every time I buy a T-shirt from there, I know they're doubling their money nearly. Well, not doubling their money, but you know
this
what I
mean. This is a good business, sir. This is a very good business.
It's a fantastic business. Profit before finance costs and tax up 45.4% to $4.4 billion. Just very briefly on that, is that a retailer that you favour?
Yeah, definitely. And in fact, if you look at their sort of who's got recommendations on them, it's one of the most highly rated retail stocks on the JSE, and for a reason, for an absolute reason. I mean, this is trading on a PE of single digits of 9.5 PE. It's giving you a dividend yield of 7.3%, and they're coming out with numbers like this. You know, diluted earnings per share of 7.7 on the share price, headline share 7.78, dividend up 44%, five rand dividend on the stock. It is flat year to date. It probably deserves a bit of a higher rating. It did trade as high as 67.50 at the end of last year. So I think this will get a nice little bounce tomorrow. But yeah, really, really solid set of numbers, and you know, justifying why it's one of the most highly rated out of our local apparels.
Very good. We won't go through the other numbers. We'll do that at a later stage, maybe tomorrow evening. Dollar Rand is 17.28. That's down 2.75% in the last 24 hours. British pound against the Rand is 19.93. Euro Rand is 17.18. Euro dollar 99.45 now. Dollar 0.7% higher against the euro, which is it's a dead man walking, that currency. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
British pound against the US dollar. Even worse than Brexit. Look at this thing now. Nick, 1.6% fall for the pound against the US dollar. Nice. The cable is now 115.35. Come on. Gold price has broken 1700. Sorry about that. Down $33 an ounce, or nearly 2%. The platinum price is down 6%. 806. The palladium price down 3% to 2002. No wonder the platinum producers are getting smashed. The US 10-year treasury yield is 3.27 now, 3.274. South African 10-year bond yield, 10.55%. That's 11 basis points higher. Bitcoin still below. I'm surprised it's not lower, actually. It's 19.745, down 2%. And S&P 500 futures, before you go, you'll give us the live prices. But it was down around about 1.4%, now down just about 1% at the moment. Nick, I'll give you some of my movers on the JSE. We've spoken about a couple of them, but I've got Aspen on the upside, nicely. 5.3%.
Last trading update this morning, yeah.
Very good indeed, and their results coming soon. Woolies up 4.8%. Telcom up 4.3%, Old Mutual up 3.1%, Massmart up 3%. On the downside, these are massive numbers. Impala Platinum down 6.75%, Northern down 6.6%, Anglo American Platinum, I think you might spot a theme here, down 5.25%, HCI down 4.8%, and African Rainbow Minerals after its numbers this morning down 4.75%. Anything outside of those numbers that I've just spoken about that caught your eye?
Yeah, I mean, ugly tape. So let's concentrate a little bit on the good side.
Okay.
Retailers, Massmart up 3.5%, you mentioned that. Telkom also up 3.89%. There's a little bit of a fight going on there with MTN and a few others sniffing around. So that's interesting. It's a little corporate play on that side.
Yeah.
Incidentally, MTN itself up 1.5% today. And then Old Mutual, which I thought the numbers were not great, seems to find a bit of value. I saw one or two research notes hitting my inbox this morning, just saying that that where it's trading at 10.44 rand, you know, the embedded value is closer to 15 rand. So I think a little bit of value play is coming into Old Mutual, but overall it's horrible looking tape today. Oof.
Very nasty, and that's becoming a theme. Well, short term theme anyway. Nick, give us the closing JSE indices plus live Wall Street, please, and of course the all important value traded.
Yeah. So, ugly day for the first day of spring. 1.84% down. That's your JSE All Share. I mean, this was north of 70,000, and it's now closing at 66,021. These are big, big moves. We have been led lower. Well, it's on the upside, healthcare up 1.5%. That's from a decent result from Aspen today. Industrials also 0.3% better, but dominated on the downside by financials 0.25% lower. Utilities 1.41% down. Energy down 2.25%. Basic materials 2.5%, and tech as well, also down almost 3%. Value traded today, and bearing in mind half of this is ABSA with that book build, but we managed to get 39.7 billion, but half of that is just ABSA shares on that book build. Quick glance at Wall Street. It's not bouncing back. It's on the lows of the session. We are an hour and a half into that. It is down 1% on the S&Ps. We are down 0.5% on the Dow Jones Industrials, and the Nasdaq is holding very simply onto 12,000. It is down 1.61%. So tech shares getting hit again today.
Nick, thanks so much for your analysis. Nick Kunze is from Sunland Private Wealth, and Nick will be joining me again for the 5 o'clock shadow tomorrow. The views and opinions expressed in these podcasts are those of Lindsay Williams and various contributors and do not reflect the policy, position or opinion of any other agency, organization, employer or company associated with strictlybusinesspodcast.com. Assumptions made on the analyses are not reflective of the position of any other entity other than the speaker or the author. And since we are critically thinking human beings, these views are always subject to change, revision and rethinking at any time. Please do not hold us to them in perpetuity.